Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, on today's show, I'm interviewing actor-director Will Jackson, and we're going to talk about his new film, Denied, and I think I have him on the line. Let me check here. Will, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
Great. Well, I want to dive right into Denied. For those that don't know much about it, tell us a little bit about the plot.
The plot involves two officers one's a homicide detective, one's a patrolman, and the patrolman is killed, injured in the line of duty, and his partner, who is the homicide detective, has to deal with trying to see him in the hospital. So family's the deceased partner, family blaming him, and then having to deal with the hospital personnel, his coworkers, and the whole situation of not being able to say goodbye to his lover of 10, 12 years.
Now, what inspired you to do this film?
Well, I'm in a relationship for 12 years now, and luckily my partner's family loves me, and I don't feel we have those issues. But as a police officer, I'm actually a police officer for 19 years now, and I see this happening all the time. I read about it all the time. And actually on the scene, it happens where officers go to scenes with same-sex partners, and they really don't understand or don't take it serious enough to how to handle a situation. It's really no different than any other situation. You just need to take care of it like any other situation and deal with it and be sensitive to this, sensitive to their needs and their wants. Not make light of it or make fun of it. And I see it all happen all the time, and it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this would be a way.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I thought this would be a way of letting people see how useless the hate and the segregation and the bigotry, all that stuff, it is in times of pain and loss, that we should come together instead of stay separate. So that's what the story is basically about.
And there's so many issues right now in the media regarding homosexuality and the repealing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and gay marriage and different things. But I think the thing that most tugs at me personally is like the healthcare issues like you're talking about. Talk a little bit more about that, because I don't think people really understand what happens.
In states where same-sex partner marriages are not legal or recognized, if someone you are been living with for 20 years or so gets in the hospital and their family comes and says, we don't want him in the here, they actually have that authority because you basically have no rights. And can you imagine having to, your partner's in there dying, that you've been with 10, 5, 20 years, and you can't go in there to see him, say or her, say goodbye, touch them, help them, because the family doesn't want it. And you have no rights, even though you've been together for 20 years. And that's just not the hospital thing. It happens financially also. More people are getting more educated on how to protect themselves when they're couples by getting wills and signing out to deeds and et cetera. But there are times where an individual has been living with their partners for years and paying the mortgage, everything is together, where one dies whose name is on the mortgage, and then family swoops in and kicks this person out of his home or her home that they shared with this person for 15, 20 years. And this person is on the street, already distraught. They just lost the love of their life. And your family doesn't care because they care about the money, what's left there. So that's another issue about being married and having those protective rights. And it's crazy. It's unreal. It's barbaric, basically. I mean, if someone's been living with someone for 15 to 20 years or 10 years or 5 years in the same household, they share that house. That's their house, not that one person's house. And someone coming in off the back to sell it from up under you or take it from under you or sue you is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So what do you hope people walk away from with that, with this? What do you hope they walk out of the theater with when they do see it?
I want this film luckily I got some amazing actors, an amazing crew, an amazing assistant director, Miguel Miller, who, I mean, is tremendous. And because this is my first film, so I know nothing about directing. But I wanted to see in my vision, my way. I wanted to show it my way. And my actors came with their A game every single day. They worked their butts off, and I was so proud of them. I got emotional on the last day because I'm like, these people are coming together for my film and this project. So it was great. I want people to walk away and see how hate, the unfairness of not being able to marry your partner and have the same rights, and how useless it is. I want people to walk away and see how the pain that this that these people go through just because of someone is married or is with someone of the same sex, and how it's really not important to them. It's, you know, to who's not in the relationship. So I want people to walk away seeing the pain that they're causing by now allowing the same-sex marriages and the same rights. And I think we're going to be able to do that with this film.
Now, Gisele Legere worked with you on the screenplay. How did that process work? Were you working with her from the beginning on it, or was she working on it and you kind of pitched in, or was it your project or her project, or and how did that start out?
No, Miguel, I'm sorry, Gisele is awesome. I helped. Awesome. She was referred to me reference writing a film. I had this idea for a while in my head. So I contacted Gisele, asked her to, I needed a writer. We sat down over dinner, and I told her what I wanted. I told her the story, my story. I told her the scenes I wanted, and I told her what I wanted this film to be about. I gave her topics. I gave her some ideas. I gave her some scenes, what I wanted. And over a period of 2 months, 2 months and a half, sending scripts back and forth, we basically narrowed it down to what we're going to put on screen, what we put on film. So Gisele is the writer. And she did an amazing job. I mean, I'm not a writer, so she did an amazing job. And she, with us going back and forth, we were able to tell the story that I wanted to tell. Yeah, she was great.
And you talked about your actors. How did you get your actors? Did you have a casting?
I had a casting, and Gisele helped with the casting. She did a great job there. I had a casting, and people showed up. They knew the SAG project, and luckily I have good friends and people that know me, and they, I guess they appreciate it and they like the story, because I guess they're on the side that they love the story and they want to get on board and help and support. And I held out for quality actors, and I'm not that person. I understand you're my friend, but if you come to the audition, my job for you as a friend is to get you the audition. It's your job to get the part. So that's what I did. I told my classmates. My classmates came, and then hopefully, unfortunately, they weren't cast as all the characters, unfortunately, because there were actors there that came with the egg and became their strong and came to one of the parts. So we had a casting, and luckily the casting developed these people, and it was amazing. I mean, I held out for Sam, who was played by Ray Hernandez, who did an amazing job. I held out for the father, who was Eric, who I luckily ran into while I was visiting my Atlanta agent, Jim Doherty, and Ellen, which is Nita Nelson Torres, was phenomenal, and everyone else was great. From the officers, from the lead actor, my partner who plays my partner in the movie, Michael Verdugo, we call him Mikey for short, who's my trainer. There's a story behind that also, which you should know, is when I wrote this story without even talking to Mikey Verdugo.
Uh-huh.
And so when I had it ready, I saw him. I know he's all into the gay rights and supporting these issues. So I went to him, because he's my gym instructor also. I said, Mikey, would you mind being the lead in this with me on this film? Because this is, I feel that you can bring a lot to the film. And he said, yes, right off the bat. And then he tells me, this is my life story, right? And I had no idea that this was his life story. Him and his partner were police officers, and his partner was killed in the line of duty. And I had no idea before I even asked him. So it was, meant to happen. It was amazing. And I was like, really? And I didn't know. I know Michael for, 10 years. I never knew that part. So it was meant to be, and he was meant to play that character. So we had a name change of the character to honor his father, his lover. His character was originally named Ken Bale. After I spoke to him, he told me that this is basically his life story. Automatically, I said, you know what, we're going to change the character's name to your lover to represent him and to honor him. Now it's Alex Del Rio. He used to be an officer for Hollywood Police Department. So we changed the names, and he basically played the role of his lover. And I know how that must have been for him, because they were really a tight couple. And so he played the part of his lover, and he did an amazing job for someone who hasn't acted in a long, long, long time. And having to deal with that emotion and play his lover that was killed and then lay in a coffin, I mean, that was probably very emotionally draining. But he did it. He did an amazing job, and I love him for it. And the story, I mean, it's amazing how people came together for the story just basically by God. It just happened.
And you were also the lead, too.
Yeah, I played the lead because, I wanted to go my way, and this is what I wanted. So I wanted to show, I had the connection with the script because, like I said, I have lovers. I had a lover for, I mean, I have a lover now for 12 years, and I can imagine how that will affect me. I am blessed. His family loves me, and I don't have that problem. I can see the hurt that happens to other people who have that problem. So, yeah, I feel lucky, very lucky, blessed by these guys, the characters. Joseph Velez played the officer. We had Sheriff Fraser. We had Lorenzo Toledo. We had Ray Hernandez who's an officer. It's really ironic that in this film about police officers, there's probably six real life police officers in the film.
Right.
You know, there's like Ray Hernandez. You know, all these people are actually lifetime officers that they do. So it has a connection there. And, you know, the film was just made to happen. And I'm happy I'm the one and my cast and my crew were able to bring it to light. And I hope it does. It just opened, if it was one person's eyes to the hate and changed their mind, I did my job. So,
what was it like acting and directing? Was that challenging?
Very difficult. It was very difficult and very challenging. I was lucky, like I said, I got a great team and an awesome AD, assistant director, Miguel Miller. He did an amazing job helping me out and reminding me and teaching me stuff. But it was very stressful. Not as stressful as like it could have been because of him, but it was stressful. It was draining because, you know, as not just being an actor, you show up, you do your job, and then you go home. I had to make sure we had the correct crew, the dialogue correct, the lighting crew was there, an actor showed up, they were treated correctly, there was food. It's funny, my blood, sweat, and tears, I had all of that making this film. I ironed on and sewed the patches on the police officers' uniforms. I went shopping for the wardrobe for the other cast, and I stuck my finger a few times with the needle because I'm not a sewer. And there was some crying, and there was some blood, so all that was done making this film. So happy.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
I know, right?
That's funny. So what was the most challenging part?
The most challenging part was remaining calm. Remaining calm at the funeral home was the most challenging part, and balancing all of those things together, with being a director, being involved, and then saying no politely. So keeping your vision where you want to do it and doing it politely and making everybody stay happy. And luckily my guys just helped me out, and we did it pretty good. And I mean, I was stressed, so I didn't sleep. Being an actor and having 14, 16-hour days, because in acting, you go there 8, 12 hours, you're over. But being that director and the executive producer, you're there to start everything, set everything up, and you're there to take the last person to leave, and everything is packed up and taken away. So that was very tiring, but it worked out. It worked out.
How long did it take you to shoot?
We shot everything in 4 days. We had to juggle people's schedule because Mikey's my buddy, so is now a BSO officer. He was going to the police academy, and that was sprung on us at the last minute, so we had to change his shoot days to work that in. My God, he I don't know when he slept and how he performed so well on the shoot and then do the police academy. He's also a physical trainer at he owns two gyms called Body Tech. Let me tell you, if you want to get into shape, go to that gym. It's like a CrossFit mixed with cardio aerobics. It's amazing. And there's one in Wilton Manors, and there's also one in Davie. It's called Body Tech. Look online. Mm-hmm. The classes are awesome. I mean, if you look on my Facebook page, Willie J. Jackson, look at my pics. I just turned 42. I just posted a picture of me at 42 because I go to that gym, and it keeps me in shape.
It's
an hour. It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. And when it comes to trainers, he looks – and he does what he says. He practices what he preaches. So that's why I go there all the time. And they're amazing. So,
now, where did you shoot the film?
We shot a film in Fort Lauderdale in Miami. Like I said, it was meant to be shot. It was meant to happen. I got all my locations for free. Amazing.
Wow.
Locations for free. We got the Callis McKinty Funeral Home here in Fort Lauderdale off in Wilton Manors, who were super sweet and super nice. We got the apartment at the Exchange Building, which is Mikey's. That's where Mikey's building. We were able to use that location. We got the Miami Institute for Age Management, which is in South and Brickell, which is, as you know, one of the top plastic surgery offices in Florida. There was actually a posting recently where Kim Kardashian had her vampire facial. Stephen Watson helped us out, and also Mr. Gala, Dr. Gala, helped us out also with that location. And then my friend Alex Yar and Neil, that owns ANSU Autosports, no, ANSA, sorry, ANSA Autosports in Miami, gave us a warehouse location. And, I mean, it was meant to happen, and amazing locations. It was just happening. Little fires here and there, we put them out, and we just went on. I mean, it was just amazing. My acting classmates showed up to help me out. It was just great.
And you're taking, right now, you're taking Eric Morris' technique with Gilda Pianelli, right?
That's right. She's an amazing teacher. His methods are very good. They work. And they're very, I would say, it's eclectic type. He has an eclectic group of methods of getting you to what you need to do to fulfill your obligation to a character. And it's not just one way of doing it. He has other ways of teaching you, where it's inner monologues, or imagining the situation, or tapping into an emotional scene, that emotional time in your life that you went through, whatever that character is going through, and you're using that. So you have different exercises, way of connecting with those points, so you can fulfill the obligation and really represent that character in that role that you're playing. And it works for me, and it's like, for me, it's actually like therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good. Yeah, and Gilbert is awesome.
Yeah,
she's one of the top
yeah.
students there. Is that University Center of Performing Arts, and
mm-hmm.
the price is ridiculous compared to what's offered down here and the price they offer you. So yeah, I feel lucky about that too. So I've been going for two years now, and I've grown so much in my acting ability. So the art.
Yeah, I actually studied Eric Morris' technique. That was the first technique I studied. So I was like, oh, Eric Morris, look at that. So
yeah,
kind of
he's great. Yeah, he's great. He's great.
Yeah.
And Gilda manipulates and facilitates, because I call my teachers facilitators, and facilitate the class excellently. So
great. Now you were talking, of course, you talked about your physical training and your police training, and you were also in the military. Tell me about that.
Yes.
What kind of strange progression? From military
to
police officer to actor.
I do both. I was an inner city kid, and kind of shy. And, you know, I was graduating high school. I was in my 11th year. I was like thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? My mom was a single parent mother, so I probably had to work and go to school at the same time, to get an education. And they took us to do the military test they used to do in school. I did pretty well. I said, you know, this is a good option. So I joined the Navy. My mom was having a fit. She goes, yeah, don't you? I go, Mom, I need to go. She goes, well, what if there's a war? And I say, Mom, there hasn't been a war in 20 years. So she signed the papers and let me go. And, of course, Desert Storm, Desert Shield happened, which I was sent to. Military was, joining the Navy, the military was one of the best decisions in my life. It helped me grow tremendously. I was able to plan and find a path for my life. While I was there studying and gaining experience and growing up into an adult, I came to terms with my homosexuality in the military. Luckily, I had no outside influences. I was pretty, I was celibate, basically, a virgin the entire time I got out of the military, because I was so afraid of anyone finding out. So I didn't really mm-hmm. need to or have any conversations with anyone about my sexuality in the military. I was just too petrified. But it allowed me to come to terms with it and accept it, and be in a positive way, where I didn't have outside influences manipulating my decisions and being looked down upon by family members or friends when I was trying to find my way. And unfortunately, some kids, young kids today, don't have that, and they use drugs, alcohol, or unprotected sex to deal with that lack of self-esteem and control. Luckily, the military helped me and gave me that backbone and will that it helped me develop into a better life and deal with my lifestyle better than some people who don't have that in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I was sent to Desert Storm, Desert Shield in the Navy, and that helped out. I've been to tons and tons of countries. I think that was a pleasure. I got out of the military, and I decided to – I made a promise to myself I would not work for less than $9 an hour back then in 93. I got a job for Wackenhut Security, and I went to work corrections for 2 years after that. I applied at the city I work for, and I've been there for 19 years. About 2-3 years ago, I fell into acting. I love it, and going ever since. I do both, and that's my second. My retirement job will be acting and traveling. That's my second job.
Wow. And did you get into SAG right away, or were you tapped Hartley's because of some of your skills, or how did you get into SAG?
SAG, I didn't know how hard it could be to get into SAG.
Uh-huh. yeah.
I lucked out. I started acting in, I think, 2010, I think in July or September. And I was SAG eligible in October of that same year. Lori Wyman, who I can't thank enough, and she cast me for Burn Notice. I was a National Guardsman in their last stand scene, and I got it within 3 or 4 months. I was SAG eligible. I didn't join SAG then. I was SAG eligible thanks to Lori Wyman and the cast and crew and the writers and everything of Burn Notice. And I didn't know how seriously that was until I started speaking to my acting friends and learning about more people who've been acting for 4 years and never able to get SAG eligible. I was like in shock. I was like, really? Thank Lori Wyman even more for that opportunity, because she just blessed me with being on TV. She blessed me with being SAG eligible, and I mean, I can't thank her enough, you know. And I just lucked out. And I joined 2 years ago because even though joining SAG, I wouldn't advise new actors to join immediately. I think they should do some a lot more of the projects before joining SAG, because when you join SAG, you're limited to what you can do. I joined SAG because I had a full-time job as a police officer, which paid my bills. And I didn't have time to go on smaller auditions, and I just didn't want to. So I joined SAG to help me build, to do more out-of-state stuff, larger projects where there were SAG, and get paid more for it. And, you know, because I pay for school. I go to class 2 or 3 times a week. I train my body, I study, I audition, and I do all those things. And I think by joining, I wanted to let people, the world know, I'm a professional. I'm joining the union. I am a professional actor. I'm not an aspiring actor. I am an actor. And I want to be looked at as an actor. I get better and better every year because I go to class. I work on it. We do. But I am an actor, and I want to be looked at as a professional actor. So I joined SAG. That was another reason why I joined SAG right away. This is Will J. Jackson, SAG actor. That's why.
You've done a lot of movies so far. You've done quite a few. And the movies that you've done have been high quality. You got really lucky, like you said. What has been one of the most challenging films that you've done? Have you had like a certain scene that you had to do that was really challenging or something like that you can think of?
I think this was the most challenging role. Because it was my baby. This was the most challenging role. I wanted to make it awesome. And being stressed out to make sure that everything looks right, the actors are on point. I was acting well enough. And, you know, this was my hardest role, this one here. Because it was basically all me. It was for me, by me. All these things, so it was the hardest role of doing all those things, and still, you know, being having so many hats, and then giving a really believable performance. And I think we accomplished it, because I saw some of the footage, and my director of photography, Stephen Brevid, was amazing. The footage he has is amazing. Even without the audio connected to, because I don't know how to do that, audio connected to the footage, I look at some of the footage, and I'm like, man. Just that alone works. The shots he got, the angles he shot was amazing. The guy, Stephen Brevid, was awesome. Look him up. You see some of his work.
Yeah.
He did a great job on my film. So he did a great job. And it's in post right now, being edited, and then have a composer on standby to add the music to it. And I'm just excited, you know. In the funeral home scene. I'm sorry?
Who's going to be the composer?
It's a young guy. He's new to the field. I mean, he's doing it for work. He's come from a family of musicians. He plays the piano very well. We've spoken a few times. He knows what I want, And his name is Ray Fernandez, Jay Fernandez. He's actually on the webpage. If you look it up, it's called, the webpage is www.thedenyedfilm.com. I try to make sure everybody is represented on this project who worked on it. And there's there. You'll see pictures of everybody, from cast to crew and on scene. You'll see that everybody's represented because everybody put in 100% of their work. So I want everybody to know that we're a team. Everybody's treated the same, did the same everything. So everybody did, came, like I said, everybody came with their A game, you know? And so his name is Ray Reynaldo, Ray, J. Fernandez, Jr. I've heard some of his stuff. It's amazing. He was referred to me by Miguel, who you worked with him before. And I just can't wait to get it out there because, you know, at the funeral home scene, people were crying even without the music. I was like, okay, we're doing something right here.
Uh-huh.
So it was good. It's going to be awesome. I can tell you, it's going to be awesome.
So are you going to send it to the film festival circuit? Is that your plan?
Definitely, definitely, definitely going to the film for, I mean, I didn't do this for, to sell it. I did it to, as a PSA. I did it as a public service announcement. I raised funds, but not nearly as enough as I need, as I spent. And the film came out of my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I raised about $4,000, and I think the film now is probably at 14.
Wow.
So, it came out of my pocket, but you know what? I told people, my actors and everyone, this is going to be a professional done film. It's going to be professionally cast, professionally production. I hired a gaffers. I hired a DP. I hired an AD. I paid them. I paid my actors. It was the $100 a day thing, but I paid my actors. I paid my extras. I paid the catering. I tell people, I don't want you to work for free. Because I want your best. So if you're working for free, you're going to be mediocre most likely. You can, but there are actors who give 100% all the time. But, you know, it's better when you're getting paid for something. I feel better when I'm paying someone. Then I can tell them what to do. I have higher expectations when I'm paying you. So I paid my actors, and I paid my crew. So when I tell them, no, I want this, and that, they're obligated to do what I tell them to do because I'm paying you to do it. It's a job. This is not, you're not giving me anything. You're being paid to do it. I want you to do it this way. And that's, so I paid it. And plus, as an actor, I was sick and tired of seeing and hearing, you don't get, it's non-paid, but you get credit and you get noticed in the film. You get noticed
right.
In the film. If it's a project I like and I believe in, if it's a friend's project, by all means, I'm jumping on board. But I just didn't want to be that type of producer, director, or exec producer, director. I didn't want to do that. I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. But everyone else can do what they want to do. When it comes to Will J. Jackson will do it his way, whether everybody does it. Because people are telling me, why pay your actor? They'll do it for free. I go, I don't care if they do it for free. I want to pay my actor because when I'm an actor, I want to be paid. I don't care if it's $50 or $100, something that you know that you actually really care about me. You're not taking advantage of me. So that's why I do it. And that's how my productions will always be when I do something. I will pay my actors. I will pay my crew because I want the best. And I don't want to be one of the ones that says, we'll get credit and you'll be shown in the film and you get experience. That just irks me a little bit.
Right.
But I didn't want to be one of those people, which there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong by putting it, I'm not putting it down. Because sometimes you can't, but you don't have any money to do it. You have to do a project. But the project is great. I would definitely work for free and do a project, but the project is great. And that's just me. But I didn't want to go that route. So I decided to do it this way. And so, you know, I had time to raise my funds, raise my accounts to cover this, to make sure I paid these people, you know. And we haggled on the price, and I got the price lowered down, and everybody worked together. Everybody dropped their normal fee because these are professional people who were working behind the scenes. So they knew the project, they read about it, they know the story, thought the story was great, a great meaning behind it, and they worked with me on their prices. They got paid, not the full rate, but they got paid something, at least about half.
Mm-hmm.
So. They basically were very generous with me also by coming on board.
Great. Now, do you have another project that you're working on after this, or are you already acting in something else?
Let me tell you. There's this film called So Dark. It's the sequel to this film called So Pretty that I was cast in, and I was so happy to be cast in because I saw So Pretty. It's on YouTube. It's called So Pretty Continuum. That's the first one, and it's done by the director, Al Laufer. He's doing a sequel to the So Pretty. It's called So Dark. It's in post-production now, and that's also an amazing thing. This is a long one, probably like 25 minutes. I'm not sure how long this one would be. But if you see So Pretty, you will know what I'm talking about, how good. I was amazed at the production and the acting in that film that I basically begged to be in the sequel, So Dark, which is coming out now. It's Jeremy Paul Kessler's last name, and it's that film is in post right now. And still looking at an audition everywhere. So, I'm in it for the long haul.
Do you have a personal website you want to give out?
My personal website, which I hate the name, but when you first starting out, you really don't know. It's www.willjacksonactormodel.com. It's really wish I can just remove that model part because I really don't do any modeling, unfortunately. But that's my website. And www.thedenightfilm.com will tell you and give you updates about the film on the Denied film, give you the cast, the crew, some behind-the-scenes pictures, and, the basic meaning behind the film. We're also on Facebook. It's called Denied, D-N-I-E-D, in a couple of letters. That's our webpage. Also have a Facebook actor page, Little J. Jackson Actor on Facebook. So, that's where we are. And, I'm just growing and looking for other projects.
Great. Well, any last word before we go? Because we're running out of time.
I know I talk so much. I'm so sorry. But I love this project so much. I wanted to thank you very much for having me on your show. Rachel, I'm ecstatic that you accepted me to be on your show, and it's great. And hopefully the next project I'll have you on it, because I hear you are a great actress also. So,
well, thank you. I would like to work with you. We worked together on Caught in the Middle a little bit.
That is correct. We did work on Caught in the Middle.
And Dogville Absolution.
That's right, Absolutions. That's coming. I don't know what's coming out with that one. But
I just
want to thank you. I want to thank my cast, my crew of The Denied. They did an amazing job. I want to thank my partner who basically took my crap in that messy house, Dr. Kenneth Kaplan. And just say, check out the film. Check out the webpage. I tell you, it's going to be great. The actors and actresses were amazing. And, I look at it just myself and just say, I can't believe this. And, it's a PSA. And spread the word and get it out there.
Great. All right. Thanks, Will. I'll talk to you soon.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.
Okay. Well, that was Will Jackson. And as you heard, he talked all about his film Denied. And you can go back if you missed those websites. You can go back and listen to this whole film in its entirety and write down those websites. It's definitely a film I think you're going to want to check out and that you'll be hearing a lot about because it is such an important topic and it's a timely topic. A lot of people are talking about these issues, and I'm sure that it may have some controversy, but hopefully it will engage some conversation, which is what I think needs to happen. Well, guys, once again, thank you for tuning in today. And if you are a director or producer out there and you would like to be on the show, please email me. My email address is ravenprods, ravenprods @yahoo.com. And please send me your stuff, and I'd be happy to take a look at it. Also, I wanted to let you know, I interviewed Master Sang last week on the show. If you missed that, you can go back and listen to it. He and I are going to be doing a fight class on March 22nd. He's actually doing the fight class, and I'm just kind of helping promote it. But that's March 22nd at 6 p.m. in Coconut Creek. If you would like to be in the class, you're here in South Florida, and you want to be in the class, which is free, please email me at the same address, ravenprods@yahoo.com, and I will put you on the list, and I will send you all the details. It should be a great class. I don't know exactly what he'll be teaching, but I'm sure it'll be similar to the type of training that I'm doing with him. I'm taking private training with him right now, which is a combination of kicking and boxing, and it's basically Taekwondo and Muay Thai, I can't say that. And Master Sang has not only been a instructor since 1990 in the martial arts, but he also is kind of an action star himself. He was in Rush Hour 2 and 3, some other films, including a film he's working on right now, also with director Brett Ratner, for with The Rock. So he's doing that film too. So If you want to be in the fight class, let me know. And I will be back next week with someone new, so please tune in next Sunday, same time, same bat channel, 1 o'clock, and I will talk to you guys then. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.